Open your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 1. We're actually going to finish chapter 1 today. Last week we did a message about Peter, Paul going up to visit Peter, which it says in the text in chapter 1. And now we're going to finish this chapter. But again, chapter 2 actually is continuation. So next week you'll find we're still being familiar ground, as Paul talks about after 14 years, then he goes back up to Jerusalem again. So that'll be a really neat passage to look at too. So Galatians chapter 1. Again, last week we looked at verses 17 to 20 where Paul went up into Arabia. We do not know for how long. I was looking at some commentators again. People speculating like crazy. It doesn't say. It doesn't say how long he was in Arabia. It just says he went to Arabia, and then he went to Damascus. And we know he was there for 3 years. He was in Damascus for 3 years. Because we're going to see that's what the text says. And during that time, what did Paul do? Well, we see in verse 16, that he preached among the heathen. So that was Paul's calling. We know that. That's every gospel preacher's calling, to preach the gospel, isn't it? To preach the gospel. And remember, when it says heathen in the scriptures, that's speaking about anybody outside of Israel, because the Israelites looked at everybody else as Gentile dogs. They looked at us as heathens. That's just how they did. The Romans were nothing but heathens and pagans in their eyes. Look at Galatians 1:16. It says, to reveal his son in me, Paul speaking of his conversion, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. And then look in verse 18 of Galatians chapter 1. We see that after 3 years in Damascus, Paul went up to Jerusalem and was with Peter for 15 days. Says in Galatians 1:18, then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Let's read verses 11 to 24 so that we have the context of the verses that we're going to look at today, which will be verses 21 to 24. We're starting verse 11. Paul writes, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversations in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And remember, wasted there in the Greek is destroyed. He tried to literally destroy the people of the way, the people of Christ. And profited in the Jewish religion above many mine equals, mine own nation. Remember, profited there was, he's a trailblazer in the Greek. So he's far ahead of people, his contemporaries, and he's far ahead of people who are older than him he's further ahead than his peers, and he's farther ahead than Pharisees who have been part of that religion for 20, 30 years. He had far exceeded everyone. It says here, and profited in the Jewish religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. So he was consumed with the Jewish religion. He was consumed, and that's what he wanted to forward. That's why he hated the people of the way, because they were a threat to the Jewish religion. Look at this. But when it pleased God. You know, every believer has that in their life. But when it pleased God, look what it says. Who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Every believer is called by the grace of God. Oh, it's wonderful. And look at this. Why does he call us? To reveal his son in me, he said, Paul says. That's why he calls us too. To reveal Christ to us. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So he was there for 2 weeks and a day visiting with Peter. And we're going to find out he also was visiting with James. But of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now there's a reason why it says that. But other of the apostles saw I none. We're going to look over in Acts later on. They were terrified of him. They were terrified of Paul. They had heard of his conversion, but they were thinking that it was fake. That he was a pretender and he was looking to hook people in. Several commentators said that they were probably terrified that it was just a plot to draw them in. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by the face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. So they had never saw him. They had heard of him, no. Because look what it says. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed. Oh my, the miracle of God's grace, beloved. One who sought to destroy the church now preaches the faith. Only God can do that, beloved. Only God can do that. That's a miracle of God. Just like every believer is a miracle of God, a trophy of God's grace. We don't always feel it, but we are. Just like Paul was. And look what they did. They didn't glorify Paul, did they? They glorified God in me. What was Christ's end? We started looking at John 17 this week. And Christ desired to glorify the Father. We saw that in the text. That was his whole desire to be here. It was to glorify God the Father. In doing so, and how did he do that? By saving his people from their sins. By his perfect work. My, oh my. So we see in verse 21 that Paul's visit with Peter and James, he goes to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. And he went to those regions after some of the brethren at Jerusalem had lowered him down from one of the walls of Jerusalem in a basket. Some of the Jews in that city, they had heard Paul preach, and oh man, they were what we used to say, madder than a wet hornet. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to destroy him. Think of that. They were cheering him on a few years before that, weren't they? When he was their champion, they were cheering him on. And now that he's preaching the way, now they want to destroy him. And you know why? Because he was confounding them. He would go in the synagogues and preach. He knew their religion better than they did. And isn't that neat that what he calls dung that he learned, the Lord actually used that to have him be able to just dissect and tear apart what they believed? Remember, his whole foundation's been destroyed. We looked at that last week. The whole foundation, that's why he went into Arabia, the whole foundation of his religion, it had just been destroyed. It'd been torn apart. Everything that he believed was wrong. Everything he believed was a foundation of lies. And now he finds out who the real God is, the one true living God. He finds out that Jesus is the Messiah, didn't he? And God called him to preach. He was a chosen vessel, wasn't he? Just like every believer, he was a chosen vessel. Oh my. Some of these Jews, though, in that city had heard Paul preach, and they plotted to kill him. And when it was made known by the providential hand of the Lord, he escaped for his life. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 9. It was after that that he went into the regions mentioned in verse 21, Syria and Cilicia. Acts chapter 9, look at verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Well, no wonder he only saw Peter. No wonder he only saw James. Okay? Like I said, they were terrified. This guy was killing Christians. He was killing their brothers. I ain't going near him. Peter, that's fine. You want to talk to him? That's fine. I ain't going near him. Look at that. And some of us might be in the same boat, right? If that happened to us. Oh, my. We know Peter was pretty bold, wasn't he? And so was James. Peter chopped that ear off that guy. He's like, I'm going to talk to him. Oh, my. Yeah, look at this. Why were they afraid of him? Look at this. And believe not that he was a disciple. They thought it was a false profession. They thought he was trying to trick them, that it was a plot to get them near and then destroy them. Now, that's something men would think, isn't it? That's definitely something men would do, something men would think. That ties in again with verse 22 in our text, and it says, was unknown by faith some of the churches of Judea and which were in Christ. No, they didn't want to have nothing to do with it. But look at this, look at verse 27. But Barnabas took him in and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that which he had spoken to him and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Look at that. There's Barnabas. Good old Barnabas, eh? See, Barnabas probably went over and talked to him. And he gave his testimony to Barnabas like he did in Galatians there. Well, I was on my way to Damascus and the Lord arrested me. Saved me by his grace. Then I went into Arabia because my whole belief system was in tatters. But there, I looked at the Old Testament scriptures and I saw Christ everywhere. Because that's all they had, right? They didn't have the New Testament. And think of this, when Paul's preaching to the heathen, what's he preaching out of? The Old Testament scriptures, isn't he? He's preaching Christ, beloved. So anyone tells you that Christ, that the Old Testament's for the Jews and the New Testament's for the believers, I used to say that foolishness. Just look at him and say, no, Christ is everywhere in the scriptures. The law and the prophets, they testify of him. He said me, that's what he said. Look at this. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. So for that 2 weeks, he was going in and out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him to Tarsus. Tarsus is actually in Syria. So that ties in with Galatians 1:21. Then had the churches rest through all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Look at that. They which feared him are now glorifying God in him. Why? Because they're being edified and built up by the preaching of Christ and him crucified. Don't you think they must have just marveled? That here was a guy who was going into people's homes and pulling them out, and he had papers from the high priests in Jerusalem to do that, and pulling people out of their homes, and sending them to prison or having them put to death. Remember, he was there when they laid the coats at Stephen's death before his feet. And now he's preaching the faith. And it says here, look at verse 31 of Acts chapter 9. Then had the churches rest. Rest. They didn't have to be terrified anymore of Saul the persecutor. I bet you word spread all across the known church. Beware when you hear Saul's coming. And there was no rest, right? They didn't know when he was coming. Now we see there's rest. There's rest amongst the church. And that's God's people, right? The church is God's people. And then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified. Now they're being edified and built up by the preaching of the gospel, not just by Paul, but by other gospel preachers sent by God. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Oh, may God give us the ability to walk. We know we do walk in Christ and walk in the Holy Ghost, but to be at rest. That's the hardest thing for us to do. But may God give us the grace to just be at rest in Christ, no matter what's going on all around us. And Paul went into Syria, we see in verse 21. He went into Syria, of which Antioch was the capital. Now we see Antioch mentioned quite a bit in the Acts of the Apostles. And that's why, because it was the capital of Syria at that time. And this was the area, this district was the scene of Paul's first apostolic work among the Gentiles. And Cilicia was a southeasternly province of Asia Minor, directly bordering Syria. So it was very close to where he already was. And it was separated by Mount Pyrrhus in a mountain range of Amanus. It was bordered by the Mediterranean on the south, and this was Paul's native province because the capital of that province was Tarsus. That's where Paul was from. So he was very familiar with this area, wasn't he? Because Tarsus was Paul's birthplace. And our Lord had already established a local body of believers in the region of Syria and Cilicia under the preaching of some of his other apostles and early New Testament preachers. And those saints in those areas did not know Paul, right? Look at verse 22 of Galatians 1. And was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. So they had heard of him, but they'd never seen him. And they had heard how Paul, who once destroyed the faith, was now preaching the faith, preaching the way. And who is the way, beloved? The Lord Jesus Christ. See, early Christians were called the people of the way. I like that. Because there's only one way. When you're going one way, you're only going one way, right? And beloved, there's only one way to glory, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I like that. People of the way. My, oh my. We follow the one who is the way, don't we? The Lord Jesus Christ. And they also had heard that Paul was now preaching the faith which he was trying to destroy. Look at verse 23. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. Now look at that. That's a miracle, beloved. That's a miracle of the new birth. He once sought to destroy the people of the way, and now by the grace of God, and by the grace of God alone, he's now preaching the way. He's preaching Christ. He's preaching the true way. He's preaching that Jesus is the Messiah. He's preaching that Jesus is the one true and living God. He's preaching that there's salvation in no other. Oh my. In one of the cities which Paul and Barnabas, or which Paul went, was Tarsus, the city in which he was born, and that's where Barnabas went seeking Paul. They were wondering where he was, and Barnabas went out, he went to Tarsus, and there's Paul. What's he doing? Preaching the gospel. He's preaching the gospel, beloved. It probably wasn't very hard to find Paul. You just went to the synagogues. And there he was, preaching the gospel. And not always just the synagogues, right? Because he was sent to preach to the Gentiles. So he preached to anyone. If he had an audience, right? He preached them. And I don't mean an audience like when someone's doing a play either. I don't mean that. But if he had a sheep to preach to, he'd preach to them, wouldn't he? Dave, I was telling you about that the other night. Just one sheep, man. If there's just one sheep, Donnie Bell told me, you preach the gospel. And you preach it like there's 1,000 of them sitting there with you. You just keep preaching the gospel, man. That's what he told me. That was his charge to me when the Lord called me to preach. And man, I've never forgotten that. Just one sheep. Oh my. My, oh my. And Barnabas, we saw in our text in Acts chapter 9, Barnabas strongly defended Paul, didn't he? He told the brethren, he said, he's preaching Christ. He's preaching the faith which he once destroyed. Now think of how the Pharisees thought of that. And this is what made them so mad. Again, their champion. He was their champion, beloved. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. And now he's preaching Christ? Now he's preaching the way? Oh, my. And again, he's taking apart any arguments that the Pharisees have, because he knows their religion better than they know it. Oh my. And you know what Paul did, though, when he stopped them in their tracks? He just showed them the scriptures. Here's Christ. Here he is. Here's a picture of him. There's a picture of my dear countryman. There he is. There's a type, and he's the substance. There's a shadow, and he's the substance. And so Barnabas strongly defended Paul, because the saints, again, we saw they were in doubt of him, right? They're probably thinking, well, this is just a false profession. He's just trying to plot us. He's got a plot going. He just wants to kill us. No. How do you think they felt when they first heard him preach? Because Paul, like every grace preacher, preached about the sovereignty of God. Preached about the free and sovereign grace of God in Christ. Preached that salvation is in no other, he said, right? There's salvation in no other. No other. He went to Mars Hill, and he preached on the unknown God. And he preached Christ. Oh, they must have glorified God. Because look what the scripture said in verse 24. After they heard that he now preaches the faith, they glorified God in him. Look at that. Look at that. Now we saw in the previous verse, when it pleased God to reveal his Son in me, immediately he conferred not with flesh and blood, but he went and preached among the heathen. And now it says, they glorified God. That's the people of the way. They're glorifying God in him. And this is not a contradiction. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. The Holy Spirit is God Almighty. Our Heavenly Father is God Almighty. And if we say Jesus dwells in us, it's a true statement, right? He lives within us, right? Just as the Holy Spirit does. If the Spirit of God dwells in us, the Holy Spirit of God, that's a true statement. It's confirmed by the Scripture. It said that the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit which dwelleth in you. Romans 8:11. My, we're guided by a new nature now, aren't we? Not an old fleshy nature. And brethren, there's only one God. You can't separate one divine member of the Godhead from the other. And this wonderful truth is so precious to know that the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Christ bodily. That's what the scriptures declare, right? My. My, oh my. Now, we've not seen Christ with our physical eyes, but we've seen him with the eyes of faith, haven't we? We've seen him by faith. We've heard his voice too, haven't we? We haven't heard the audible voice of God, I wonder about these modern folks that say they got a hotline to God. You know, they say, well, God talked to me the other night, told me to do this. I'm like, God didn't tell you to do that. He didn't. Vicki and I know a lady, and she professes to be a Christian. She's a very religious person. She said, well, God told me to move. And I was sitting in the restaurant one time, and Vicki, another waitress, comes by, and she says, man, I'm so confused by this way. And she keeps telling me that God's telling her to do things. I said, that's not God telling her to do that. God don't talk to people in an audible voice. He talks to us through his word. And I was able to tell her about Christ. He talks to us through his word, beloved. That's how he talks to us. My, oh my. We're going to see him one day. We're going to see him face to face one day, aren't we? But what are we going to be doing? Are we going to be waiting for him to talk to us? No, we're going to be going, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who is and was and is to come, thou hast redeemed my soul. We're going to be singing hallelujah with all the great host of heaven, aren't we? We'll be, oh my, what a day that'll be. What a day that'll be, beloved. Oh my. So we've not seen the Lord with our physical eyes or heard the audible sound of his voice, but we've heard his voice through the preaching of the word. And Christ revealed himself to us, didn't he? He's revealed himself to us through the preaching of his gospel, all by the power of the Holy Spirit. And under the preaching of his gospel, our God has given us what? True saving faith. It's a gift of God. You must be born again. And when you're born again, he gives you faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, people got the cart before the horse when they say, you got to have faith and then you're born again. Nope. Can a dead man make himself alive? Nope. How can you breathe unless you're alive? You got breath in you, right? We're dead spiritually, beloved. How can we believe if we're dead? Can't believe when we're dead, can we? Dead spiritually. But when we're made alive, and when we're given the gift of faith, we cast ourselves wholly on Christ, beloved. Don't we? We're made willing in the day of whose power? God's power. That's what happens. That's what happens. Oh, now we see the face of Christ, don't we? By faith. We were once blinded to Christ. Remember Joseph and his brothers? I know I keep going back to that, but remember Joseph? They didn't have a clue who he was. And he reveals himself, and they're all crying, rejoicing. Then they thought he was going to kill them. But he has mercy on them, doesn't he? See, we've sinned against God, right? But he has mercy on us in Christ. Oh, my. He has a right to destroy every one of us, doesn't he, because of our sin. But he didn't do that. We're going to look at this morning that the wrath due us, the full wrath due us, fell upon our King, beloved. Oh, my. And under the preaching of the gospel, God's given us true saving faith to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And if we've been raised from that state of deadness, we've heard the voice of Christ saying to us through the preaching of the word, come, follow me. Follow me. Look and live. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will. There's the general call, right? Oh my. And Paul didn't receive the gospel from man. No, he was not taught by man. Yeah. And neither were we. We heard one of God's sent preachers preach the gospel, didn't we? Yeah. God gave us ears to hear, didn't he? Oh, yeah. Some ambassador from God told us about Christ. What do ambassadors of country do? Well, they tell about that country, don't they? They may even mostly tell about the ruler. Well, we're going to a far country, beloved. And let me tell you about the king. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's so merciful that he came to this earth and died in the room and place of his people. I've never heard of a king doing that, you say. But he did it. He did it. He humbled himself. In his humiliation, he became a man. Set aside his glory, beloved, and became a man. And he was spit on, and he was despised, and he was rejected. And all we like sheep went astray, didn't we? Scattered. And he went to that cross willingly. And he gave up the ghost. Gave his life for you and I, beloved. That's what our king did. That's our king. Oh my. And you know what else? We were chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. We had no clue. God himself chose you and I as believers in Christ before the foundation of the world. We had nothing to do with that choice. There was nothing in us that made God choose us. As a matter of fact, there was only in us that which would cause him to reject us. And oh, the mercy of God, beloved. Let us think about that this week. Oh, the mercy of God. See, this is what Paul preached. Remember, Paul said, I've obtained mercy. I didn't get what I deserved. I obtained mercy. So have we, haven't we, as believers? We've obtained mercy. And this is not just mercy from a man. This is mercy from God. This is God's eternal love and grace and mercy set upon us from eternity. And you know who's done that? It's not some fake God that people have to move around. It's the true and living God that's done that for us. It's the one true living God. And remember, as we go through this world, and every day can be a struggle, can it? It can be. And a lot of times it is. But remember, I am what I am by the grace of God. I have God by my side. I have to remind myself that all the time. I've got God with me all the time. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never. He said, I'll be with you when you go through the waters. I'll be with you till you grow old. Every day I've been with you from when you were in the womb. And I'm going to be with you till you breathe your last breath. And then I'm going to take you home with me. My. And who's saying that? Our sovereign, majestic God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I know I've been saying that a lot, but it's so true. Is anything too hard for our Lord? Nothing, beloved. Nothing. Now, we go through things in this life. We do. We go through some strong trials in this life. But let us never forget that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's ever with us. Oh my. And if the Spirit of Christ dwells in us and bears witness with our spirit, we're his children. Oh my. Now think of this. Paul gave evidence of true saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the saints of God received him, didn't they? They received him into their fellowship. And then they glorified God in Paul. They glorified God in Paul. Let we who are the people of God glorify God that he saved us. And let us glorify God that he saved our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why our fellowship is so sweet, beloved. We have the same Father. We have the same Spirit, and we have the same Savior who shed his blood for us to redeem us. We come from all different walks of life, don't we? Different countries. But we're one in Christ, beloved. Isn't that wonderful? And it's by God's divine providence that we're here today, right now. And that there's a, think of this. Oh my, I love this. Our lips didn't praise him before, but now we're gonna get up, we're gonna sing praises to him. We're gonna sing praises to our King. We never did that before we were saved. So as we're singing, rejoice, give God glory for the great things he's done for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for allowing us to be here, allowing us to gather together. Oh Lord, you're so incredible. We can't even comprehend your grace and your mercy which you bestowed upon us, but the little bit we know, we marvel. We marvel that you've had mercy upon we who are sinners to the core by birth, nature, and choice, from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. And yet our great Lord Jesus Christ, you came here to redeem our eternal souls. And we glorify you, Lord. And we thank you and praise you for saving our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray you be glorified by the messages as they go forth. May you use them to draw in your lost sheep and edify your people, Lord. We'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.